Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth as we wind up the book of Philippians. Just a great section. And I say that all the time, John, a great section, but what part of the Bible is not a great section?
That's very true. Wherever you look in the Word of God, there's power for our life, for daily living.
And even in preaching and teaching, I know some of you out there are preachers and teachers at Sunday school classes or even pastors. Sometimes you look at a passage of Scripture and you think it's maybe less exciting, but then you start studying it. And you wade into it and you realize, wow, there is a lot here. And that's so true about the Word of God.
It is inexhaustible. And all throughout eternity, we'll have the great opportunity to study the Word of God and mine the deep riches out of it.
It's an eternal book. We're in Philippians chapter 4, and we just finished verse 16. So the Apostle Paul was applauding the Philippians, their proactivity and giving. You've done this from the beginning. You sent once and again unto my necessity, even in Thessalonica. And so picking up that thought in verse 17, the Apostle Paul again clarifies his motive in praising their giving. So this really harkens back to what he said in verse 10. But hear what it says in verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So again, the Apostle Paul's praising them for giving. He's acknowledging that their obedience and their heart. But then he says, hey, my primary reason for telling you this is not for me, it's for you.
You know, the Apostle Paul knew the spiritual reality that what we do with things on this earth have a great implication for eternal dividends. And here Paul tells them, you know, you have given, and I'm grateful for your doing that. This is going to bring dividends to your account. And it's interesting to see all the financial terms Paul uses in these verses. And we think about fruit. I envision an account that's just getting dividends and growing as people invest in the work of the Lord.
It reminds me of the words of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So a great principle about investment, but I love the double metaphor. Fruit that may abound to your account. So you see an agricultural illustration, and then you see a financial illustration. And you reference the financial part, but think about fruit. So if I want fruit one day, that's going to start with a seed today. Now I sound like a televangelist, don't I? But the point is, let's not allow some people that have misused Bible truth to preclude us from understanding that this is a spiritual reality, that oftentimes on earth, as we're giving, as we're investing, it seems as if I'm just throwing this away. And yet what we're actually doing is planting seed that will bear a great fruit one day.
Yeah, it is. Well, God wants us to have the eternal perspective where we look not just at today. And it's so easy. And that's what Christ deals with in the Sermon on the Mount. It gets so easy to look at the physical, temporal, earthly life and not lift our eyes to the eternal heavens and live for eternity. But that's what Paul is reminding them, what this life is really all about. It's about investing in eternal matters.
And one thing I think that we should be reminded of now is, I think sometimes we get the idea that when people are givers or people are magnanimous in this way, that it's because they have great resources. But the thing that I think we should be reminded of is that this was a poor church. They were financially poor. The Apostle Paul referenced that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, saying, hey, they were deeply impoverished, and yet they wanted to be givers. They wanted to participate even in that offering that the Apostle Paul had collected for the poor saints at Jerusalem. Now, I realize that's about 3 years before this, but I can't imagine that their economic condition had changed much in 3 years.
I wouldn't imagine that either, Pastor. And it is interesting. You often find people that give the most are those people that really don't have a lot to give, but they have a heart to give of their lack of resources to give to God abundantly. And we find even Christ in the temple points to the woman who gave her, you know, it's a small little amount she had. She had the right heart in giving, and she sacrificially gave. Where other people were coming in, they were giving, you know, baskets of things, but they surely were not sacrificing. They weren't giving for the heart for the right reasons.
And Jesus always notices. That's a great principle in that story as well. Whereas these that gave a lot of money, coinage, and dumped it in those upside down trumpet shaped receptacles and made all that noise and cling and clatter. Here was this woman with two mites. Her coinage made no sound at all, probably, and yet Jesus was over against the treasury watching. I don't know that the woman ever knew that he was watching. We know, but did she know? Probably not. And the point is, God is watching today, too. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I noticed, and more importantly, God notices. Look at verse 18, where the Bible says, but I have all. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul bounces back and forth. You know, hey, thanks for the gift. It's great. Now, not that I really was asking for it, and really it's better for you than for me. Now, I have all. He really wants us to understand the heart of the principle, doesn't he?
He sure does. And he wants us to understand his heart. He wants us to realize the great, you know, the great blessings to us in giving, but he also wants us to know that he is not somebody just looking, you know, he's not somebody who's trying to make money off the gospel, you know, and just live a rich lifestyle.
So he says, I have all and abound. I'm full. Having received of Epaphroditus, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, that one that had come to the Apostle Paul, remember he was sick. They heard he was sick. He was sad because they were sad. And the Apostle Paul called him a companion, a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier. So here's a really a great guy. The Bible says that I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And then he describes those things. And in an odd way, he says an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So that's interesting, John. He received this offering, but he describes it in a spiritual sense.
And you know, Paul knows the reality, and he wants them to understand that when they give to him, God's servant, they actually are giving to God. It is something that God looks upon very kindly. And we find a number of times throughout the Bible whenever God is well pleased with the sacrifice. We find this verbiage, first of all, something similar to this about a sweet-smelling savor in Genesis, after the flood, when Noah makes a sacrifice to God, Noah offered a burnt offering. The offering was consumed, and Noah gave sacrificially, and God was well pleased with what Noah had done. And these people had given, you know, sacrificially here, I am sure, to the Apostle Paul. And what they had given, God did take note of. And what we give, no matter how large or how great the amount may be, it's not the amount, it is the heart and that we give with. And Paul here wants them to understand that God is well pleased with giving.
We might look at it as a care package. We might look at it as writing a check or putting an offering in the offering plate. But the Apostle Paul said, I want to ennoble this by telling you that your giving is an act of worship to God. We look at a worship service at a local church and we think about listening to the Word of God as an act of worship, or singing praises as an act of worship. It's easy to see that in context. And sometimes we look at the offering almost as an add-on or as a necessity. And yet what the Bible is saying is that our giving is an act of worship. I love what it says in Ephesians 5, where it says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And the fellowship here is in light of forgiveness in chapter 4. But I love this verse 2 of chapter 5. It says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So when Jesus gave himself as the ultimate sacrifice upon the cross, that was the ultimate act of worship. And so when we give, regardless of what we're giving, we're exemplifying Christ. We're acting in concert with what Jesus did for everybody.
You know, it is interesting. I encourage you sometimes to take a concordance, look up the word give, and see how often it is applied to God. The word give is used hundreds of times in Scripture, and very often God is the subject. He is the one doing the giving. God gives and gives. We find all throughout Scripture. And in our life, God wants us to have that same principle in our life, where because he's blessed us, we ought to just be channels of his blessings and give to others, that the work of God can grow and increase.
No, that's a great insight. The giving associated with God, and then I would say even beyond that, giving associated with the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. You just see it over and over again in the Bible, not only God, but the love of God in giving. Wow, what a great thought. And listeners, I want you to think about that today. You think about the fact that this was a church, this was an individual representing that church, Epaphroditus. I don't know what was in that care package. I can picture there being food supplies. I can picture there being maybe some needed clothing, maybe a coat, maybe some books, or, you know, can you think of anything else that might have been in that package?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what all was in that package, but without doubt, you know, pastors, you mentioned they gave their material goods. They gave things material that would have met the needs of Paul and help him out where he's at and be an encouragement to him.
You know, what are the great blessings of giving, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, is that when we give, when God prompts us to give and we give to others, it benefits everybody. First of all, I'm benefited as the giver. They are benefited as the receiver. But Paul actually downplays both of those items in giving, the giving and the receiving. He acknowledges that those are a blessing in 2 Corinthians 9. But he said the real blessing in giving is that the giver thanks God that he has the resource, and the receiver thanks God that he's provided the resource. And so through the giver and the receiver, God gets the glory, because ultimately we're giving what God has given us and we're receiving what God has given somebody else. God gets the glory anyway.
And that's what God wants us to remember in our life, is that all we do is for his glory. And we're going to see Paul will address the glory of God in this chapter, because as Paul talks about giving, he cannot help but think of the glory of God.
Absolutely. And we're going to go ahead and stop there for today, my friends. We've got one last episode in the book of Philippians. I don't want you to miss it. We'll cover that next episode. But I do want to just take a moment and thank you for joining us day by day. It's such a blessing to have you with us. I hope you'll maybe share with a friend the resource of Everyday Truth. Our goal is to have as many people as we possibly can in the Bible every day. That's the great need of the hour in our nation, in our churches, in our world, for people to be Bible literate, to practice it, to allow God to do that work in each one of our lives. So God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.